Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another stupendously groovy episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, today, as you can see, Dave from the Piedmont Triad podcast is back. And that can only mean one thing. That means that we are tackling Ash vs. the Evil Dead Season 3, the season closer for this series.
Yeah, this chapter of awesomeness that is Evil Dead.
First, before we go any further, Dave, I got to tell you, I love that shirt.
Oh, thanks,
love that
man.
Shirt, man.
Second one to enjoy this one today.
Good stuff. I love some typo. Been a while.
This is my favorite album by them. I love this record.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. Remember the first time I heard typo, I was like, what the hell is this? But
yeah,
I loved it.
It was bizarre.
I know.
It was because that his voice, Peter Steele's voice, was so just.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming. It was so unique.
Yeah, but I love it. I was like, I was hooked.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like the first time I heard Misfits, too. I'm like, yeah, well, just hooked me in, you know. All right, so Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3. Man, a lot happens in this season. I remember when they announced that this was the final season.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little sad, you know.
Yeah.
Because you want it to go on forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we also know that Bruce Campbell is getting up there in age. And
yeah,
he couldn't take it anymore, really. He's just like,
yeah, I kind of got that feeling, too.
Yeah. I mean, he did. And in season three, he still had his a lot of his Ash moments, you know, where he's getting splashed and, you know, a lot of action and stuff. But I noticed that it's toned down a lot with a lot of his physical fighting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have, like, you know, Kelly and Pablo and everybody else and his daughter taking up a lot of beatings. So this, he has a daughter.
I know.
How crazy is that?
I do love the explanation, though.
Yeah, I was. So the season opens up. Ash is a town hero, right? He took over his dad's hardware shop, and now it's not only a hardware shop, it's a hardware shop and sex toy shop.
Yeah. Which I'm not going to lie, that's a pretty solid crossover. I can see a couple of those things working well together.
Yeah, and his commercial that he puts out there, he's so proud of it. But, you know, here at Ashy Slashies, and I'm like, oh, dude, he's just going all in it. But the town loves him, and it's great. You know, he's a real hero. Like, we all know he is, but his town didn't really think so. So, but this is where his wife shows up. Candy Barr. Tell me that's not a stripper's name.
Oh, I know. That's right up there with Cinnamon, you know?
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, shows up. Evidently, this is where Ash finds out that he has a daughter, because Candace Barr is like, I'm your wife, and one of your dead things attacked our daughter at the high school. And he's like, wait, maybe you got me mixed up with somebody else. In typical Ash fashion, you know. And it does take him a little while to, you know, get into this where he actually has a daughter, you know. But they go to the school. They load up, get out there, and you know, we saw the girl earlier. I can't remember her darn name now.
You're talking about the daughter's friend?
No, Ash's daughter. Do you remember what?
I don't remember her name at all. I'm terrible with names. I'm the fucking worst at that.
I was just watching it, and I can't not remember the heck of my life of me. Brandy. Brandy is her name.
There you go. Yeah.
So we see Brandy earlier with her friend, her little blonde cheerleader friend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even a cheerleader. She's like a punk rock fan friend or something like that. But then the school mascot passes them by. They call, you know, lovingly call Coogie. And they say something to him or something. I don't know how some confrontation happens. But then Coogie comes back because he's possessed by a deadite. He's, you know, the evil. And needless to say, the cute punk rock friend girl gets possessed as well. Ash shows up with Candy Bar. And this harp scene with the girl, the friend. Wow. Well,
that was beautiful.
Before the harp scene, we actually have, she throws a cymbal, you know, from a drum set, throws the cymbal like a frisbee at Candy Bar, and she goes to catch it. Cuts her head right off.
Rains fingers.
Yeah. I'm like, dude. One thing about this series, you know, it definitely delivers on the blood and gore, you know, mm-hmm. and the death scenes that you see in these things, you're like, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. You know, and then we move on.
I love that they lean so hard into it as well. That makes it so much better for me.
It's awesome. And then that leads us to the harp scene, like we were talking about, where the girl's face just, it's like a loaf of bread. But,
it's like you could run your thumb across it.
Yeah. It looked like a Christmas Jell-O loaf. And you just sliced it through that. It's like, wow, dude.
And the way it just kind of slowly falls open, and then they've got all the detail of the brain and the cross sections.
I still have a bit of a cough here. Got over a cold a couple weeks ago.
Oh. I thought it was going to be, you've been smoking too much weed again.
No, not today. This leads us to the second episode here. We forgot how evil, because Ash had defeated evil at the end of season two, right?
Yeah.
So we forgot how evil comes back. At the beginning of the episode one, we see this girl. They're like doing an antiques roadshow type of deal, right? And so this girl brings it. Is this worth anything? And of course, the guy opens his, this seems to be written in ancient Sumerian or whatever he says. And of course, he starts reading from the book, the Necronomicon, which brings the evil back. And then Ruby shows up because she sensed the book. And this Ruby is still that younger evil Ruby, the actual dark one. Because the humanized or the human version got killed in the last season. So she's back and she disguises herself as Mrs. Previtt, a school guidance counselor, who we in turn find out Brandy has been running to because now her mom's dead. She has to live with her dad, Ash, and she thinks he's kind of wackadoo. Something like that, you know?
Yeah. But she, as she should.
She quickly finds out that it's kind of real, you know? So they go through, we have this whole thing with her teen angst type of thing and living with Ash, right? You know, she's not wanting to stay with them. He put her up in Linda's room. And I'm like, not Linda's room, Cheryl's room.
Yeah.
Cheryl's room. And she's looking around at the pictures and everything. And it's kind of freaking her out. But, you know, Ruby being back on the scene, you know, it's not going to be too good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after season two, her attempt at recreating another Ash. Oh, wait, no, that's this one. This is where she tries to create baby Ash. That's right. Boy, I got them mixed up there. Creepers. But before that happens, Ruby brings somebody back from the dead. Brock. Or Cock, whatever you want to call him. they bring Brock back to life. I remember when I first saw this episode, when it was on, actually, I didn't watch it on Stars. I think I downloaded it or something. I don't know. I was one of those people that the reason why I got canceled, but
I think there were a lot of them.
There was a lot, but nobody wanted to pay for a Stars membership.
You know? Stars wasn't anything at that time at all. No.
But so we have. I remember when I first saw this episode. All you see is somebody coming out of the grave and you see feet walking. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, who is this? Who is it? And then you see go up to the shower, they're taking a shower and the mud and everything, the gunk and everything's falling off. And it's not until Brandy thinks that Ash is back, I think, and she goes downstairs and Brock's sitting down there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having some good, grandfather and granddaughter time. Short-lived, because Ash comes home. And Ash knows that he's dead. He's got to be a deadite. You know, he's... So, it ensues. You know, they're sitting there. Brock and Brandy are sitting there watching Ash's commercial over and over and over again, just laughing.
Yeah, I think the dad is like, oh, yeah, look at this. He sucks or something like that.
Yeah.
He says something really shitty about the commercial, man. It was so messed up.
It was bad. I mean, the commercial, it wasn't the best commercial in the world.
No, it was not winning an award.
But so Brandy, she leaves for some reason. Where does she go, upstairs or? She gets mad at Ash or something like that. But then the fight ensues with Brock and Ash. Brock and Ash. I can't remember why Brandy left.
I can't either. I want to say she was mad at them arguing or something like that.
Probably.
Because they always argue.
Probably mad at Ash is what it was. Mm-hmm. You know? But she leaves. The fight ensues. Of course, Ashy Slashy. Guts all over the floor. Dismemberment. He's dead once again.
And of course, Becky gets to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be this show if someone wasn't mentally traumatized by blood and grew splattering into every part of their eye and every hole in their body to maximize the potential for any kind of bloodborne pathogen reaching inside and getting you.
Yeah. And then needing that, needing mental help afterwards for years and years. Maybe that's Ash's problem. He never got mental help.
And yeah, he probably a little therapy would be beneficial. Yeah.
Well, he's probably got a lot of PTSD, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where also we have Kelly and Pablo. Oh, and the new guy that shows up. We have a new faction. That we learn that shows up. They're called the Knights of
the Renaissance or something like
Knights of something or other. I don't remember what they're from. I could probably find it here. But Dalton, he shows up, and his when he first meets Ash, he like bows, gets on his knee, you know, drops to a knee and bows, and he's like, "Oh, we're here to help and protect the Chosen One." Now, to me, it seems like these are the descendants from the Knights from Army of Darkness.
Yeah,
was that what
That's
you got?
What I thought too. Yeah. Now,
because they go, it's going to bother me now. They're the Knights of something or other. I can't remember what it was. Oh well. But
yeah, I can't remember either. I just call them Knights of
Sumeria
right now.
The Knights of Sumeria. There you go.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
I knew. It takes a little while to get it going, but once it gets going. But Dalton, Kelly, and Pablo decide. We need to find the Kandarian dagger. It's got to be at the site where the cabin used to be. It got destroyed. It's got to be there. And Dalton has been talking trash to Kelly about Pablo. Well, it's like a soap opera. What it is.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking trash to Kelly about Pablo because Pablo's getting those Necronomicon titles and words and everything all over his body again. They reappeared. Wow. Dalton is really turning on the wrong person. It's
yeah.
Like Kelly and Pablo are kind of like, you know, like two nuts in a sack. You know, you gotta, but they go out there, they find the Kandarian dagger after some digging and rooting around. They find it. Awesome. Let's see, where are we at? Yeah, they return to the cabin, find Canarian dagger. Now, this is the point that we have. Brock actually comes back as like a spirit, mm-hmm. right? And he's talking to Ash about telling him something that would change his existence. This is what he was going to tell him before he got his head run over when he was little.
Mm-hmm.
Or not little, but last season, little.
Yeah.
My son just walked in. I'm thinking little. the last season, he takes him on this trip, you know, like in the past, you know, kind of like the Ghost of Christmas
it's a
Past.
Wonderful Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And takes him into the, you know, and it's a funny scene. Because Brock just walks through the door of the hardware store, and Ash tries to, but bam, he can't do it because he's not a ghost. He goes in there and like the Christmas, you know, they can't interact with the people there, but they can watch and observe. So he's watching Brock, you know, work cash writers doing all this stuff here, and somebody walks in from the Knights of Sumeria, and it's like. Are you, you know, Ashley J. Williams' dad? He's like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, we got something important to tell him with the, you know, the Necronomicon goes like this, and Brock's having none of it. You know, Brock's like, get out, leave me, whatever. He starts, there's a cellar or this basement that he has attached to this hardware store is enormous. Dude, it is.
I was thinking about that when they were going down there. I was like, someone would notice this.
all that storage. I mean, he's got cans of Spam and all kinds of stuff down there in the shelves. I'm like, dude, boy, he's preparing there. But, you know, he goes over to go downstairs to the cellar to get some supplies or something like that. And the night comes around and Brock clocks him. He tumbles down the stairs. Brock assumes he's dead. So... So he had some pages from the Necronomicon, right? Goes down there. He falls down the stairs. Brock seals up the door. Seals it up and puts stuff over top of it.
Yeah.
Then Ash is like, what? This is what's going to change my life? What?
Yeah, he's like, you just left him down there.
So they
like, got, I love that it offended Ash's moral code. Yeah, like the fact that he even had one.
Yeah, I know. But he goes, they go down there. They go down the stairs. And as soon as you come to the landing, he looks down and there's no body. There's no bones. There's nothing there. Oh, shit. They go down there. They find out that the guy wasn't dead. So Brock had locked up a live person in his cellar who eventually did starve to death, but he lived for quite some time off of Brock's rations and stuff that he had down there. And what does he say? Damn cans. The asshole ate my stash or something like that. Dude. But then they do go over. He eventually did die of starvation, I'm guessing, or something. But he had all along this wall in the cellar, the basement, he had painted the passages from the Necronomicon that he had remembered, I guess, or something like that. Wow. I can't say how awesome it would be to have a basement this size. That's all I'm saying. This thing, and it even looked like there was a wall that was dividing because it looked like part of it was knocked down or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it had all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, this was not a small task, whoever built this basement.
Yeah, I know. And this basement plays a very, very important role going out throughout the rest of this season. It's a very, very important place, you know. And then we come to Ash learns all this stuff. Okay. Ash and Brock make discovery of the hardware store, Kelly. And this is where Kelly and Brandy, this is where they see, Ruby, right? No, that's not.
Does Ruby show up here?
No.
Or is it Dalton? That's with her.
It could be Dalton. I don't remember, but I know that they head back. So Ruby, now I'm forgetting all the people that were there. Let's just go on to the next scene.
They introduced a lot of characters in this one. I know. Blame you for getting them mixed up.
It's yeah. Okay, so because when doesn't somebody show up out by at the campsite maybe not. Where they found the Canary and Dagger, I thought somebody showed up there.
Oh yeah, somebody did show up.
Well, it was Ruby.
Was it Ruby?
Yeah, because okay. I think this is where Dalton dies. Right?
And
Ruby brings him back as a deadite to try and get something out of him or something, but he won't talk or whatever. She kills him. He's dead. I'm pretty sure this is the scene where Dalton dies.
Yeah.
He comes back later on and we'll get into that in a second here, but wow. Ruby, this is where Ruby hatches this plan. She starts this whole scene where she opens the Necronomicon and you know, that scene where Ash is holding the chainsaw hand up, and she like cuts herself and bleeds all over it and smeared it around.
Mm-hmm.
And then she for some reason it makes this jello like substance and she starts to eat it.
Yeah.
And then as she's eating it, you know, which I'm guessing this is probably true because as she's eating it, she's gagging up.
Yeah.
I bet you. I mean, I would have been gagging pretty hard eating that stuff.
Yeah. Even if it was jello, I'd still be like, oh, this is just gross, man.
Lucy Lawless, boy.
Yeah, she's a trooper, dude.
She did some stuff for the series. I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
And she's still a good looking woman.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very impressed with her. I mean, I already liked her.
Yeah.
After this, the way she just threw herself into it, I was like, yeah, she's just great.
Everything. And we get to, I like this season because we get to see Ruby as one of the dark ones. You know, we saw a little bit at the end of season one and beginning of season two, but then she started becoming more human in season two. So we didn't really get to see a lot of that dark one, Ruby. And in this one, that's all it is. She's just an evil, evil Ruby. You know, and so, but we do find out that she's eating this slimy stuff. She gets pregnant. I didn't know that's how it worked, but, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't my biology class. So. this was different.
Yeah, it was a little different. But yeah, you know, she's driving. Because where's she at when she does this? Because she's not at Miss Prevett's house. Because she's trying to drive back to Miss Prevett's house. Yeah. And that's when you start seeing her stomach. And she wrecks, pulls over. Her stomach kind of... The baby comes out.
Yeah, she's like holding her mouth. And she's like, no, you can't do this yet.
Yeah. The baby pops out. And, you know, just the blood scene inside the car. Everywhere.
Yeah, because that's when the Norwegian hitchhiker...
Yeah.
See her blowing up in the car.
Just happened to be Norwegian hitchhikers walking by. And they open the back door, and there's a baby laying there. I'm like, oh, it's a baby.
It's like, yeah. If you know what you're watching, you know damn good and well.
if I was walking on the side of the road, and I saw somebody pulled over or crash, and then... And all of a sudden, a big explosion of blood inside the car. I ain't opening no fucking doors. Mm-mm. I'm not opening a door at all. And
yeah, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
Even if I did and I saw a baby, I'm going to be like, nah, I close the door, time to walk away. But no.
This is not going to go well.
But no. Maybe it's because they're Norwegian. Maybe they're nicer. I don't know. They decide to get the baby and try and comfort it, clean it up, because they're going to take it into, I don't know, the hospital or something. But they are sadly mistaken, because the baby ends up turning around and, like, eats them. Baby's got that big jaw that opens up and teeth. And
that was awesome.
Like, and you just hear that scream that it does. You're like, oh, shit. And, of course, Ruby gets up, cuts off the umbilical cord and all this stuff. And all her, you can see her just ripped open, you know, and it starts healing up and stuff. Dude, that was such a great, great scene there. I love that scene.
I love it because when she gets out, she's got her rib cage.
Yeah, I know.
Just like splayed open. And doesn't she bite the umbilical cord off? It's just like, and she plays it serious. That's what I love about it. There's nothing there to indicate that she's winking at you. It's no, like, no, this is the role that I'm playing, and I just birthed a baby out of my belly and everything's hanging out, but it'll go back.
Yeah, it'll go back. Yeah, she's a dark one, you know. Now, isn't it, I hope I'm not confusing the seasons again. I'm pretty sure this is the one where Pablo starts to see the naked girl.
The masked girl, yeah.
Yeah, he's like freaking out. Kelly comes in, and says, Kelly, there was a naked girl here. Kelly's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, and his follow up is, I mean, that happens all the time.
It's not strange. But this is an interesting happening to Pablo, because this naked woman is like a witch, I'm guessing, something like that. She was sent by his brujo, his uncle, to help guide him to the right path. And he has to make a choice. You know, he's got like two chalices, or was it two chalices or three? Two chalices of blood or something.
Oh, three. Yeah, three of them.
He has to make a choice. And if he chooses the right one, that means he's chosen the right path, and he becomes Brujo Especial.
Isn't that a beer? Yeah. I love that line.
Yeah, it was awesome. But, of course, he chooses the right one. And that's the big thing, you know. Pablo was cut up, dude. I'm just telling you, every time they show him, I'm like, dude, that.
Yeah, I swear his arms got bigger.
I wish my dad bod would look like that. Gosh. You know, he's.
Don't we all?
Man. But yeah, Brujo Especial. So we know that that's going to play an important part because they wouldn't just give Pablo this huge thing if it wasn't going to play an important part. Boy. And we have Ash bonding with his daughter. More Knights of Sumeria join Pablo and him to defeat evil. More knights show up. These Knights of Sumeria are supposed to be, I mean, you see, you hear that, you hear their history and how they've been, you'd think they'd be badasses.
Yeah. Yeah. I was expecting a lot more from them, honestly.
But they're not. I mean, they're
they were cannon fodder.
Yeah. That's all they were. Somebody to get in the way to help our guys get away is pretty much all it was, you know? And then we have this is the scene here where Kelly decides that, you know, I'm done. I'm going to go kill Ruby myself. She knows where she's living. She's Miss Previtt's house. She goes there with the Kandarian dagger, mind you, of which Ash needs. She goes there to try and kill Ruby by herself. Doesn't turn out too good.
Idea.
Yeah. Now Kelly's badass. We love Kelly.
Yeah.
But Ruby is a dark one. And you're not the chosen one. You know, I'm like, oh, Kelly. I remember when I first saw this episode, I was like, no. That, and it doesn't turn out good for Kelly. I mean, of course.
Oh, no.
She gets mutilated there. But another twist.
You say murder-lated?
Murder-lated.
Oh, that's been murder-lated. I was like, yeah. I'm going to use that.
Well, that's what I said. Murder-lated. But there's a little twist here. We find out that there is, what's the girl's name? Oh, I can't remember her name now. Because there's one they call it the traitor. That she's the one that, with Ruby, betrayed the Dark Ones. And Ruby brings her soul back and takes Kelly's body.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I can't remember her name, though. It starts with a, I don't know, starts with an M or starts with some letter from the alphabet. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, because I completely forgot it was, yeah, that she was working with somebody else. Yeah, I completely blanked on that, so I definitely don't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't see it in my notes here, do you? Oh, well, I must not have written it down. But yeah, so Kelly's body is possessed. We think Kelly's dead.
And I really thought they may have killed her. Yeah. Even though I know in the back of my mind there's a possibility anybody could come back, I really did think they had killed her off.
Yeah. It was sad. But we did also leave out the whole part with the very large Norwegian woman that was upstairs chained to a sink when Ash shows up. And Ruby's not there, but he goes upstairs and he rushes in, busts the door down. She's, shh, shh, gotta be quiet because he's asleep. And this is our first look at this baby. Mm-hmm. Is grown up a little bit, a toddler now. But dude, this chainsaw hand on this thing.
Yeah.
It's got a biological chainsaw hand. It just looks wrong, but so cool. You know, I was just like, it looks so cool.
And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I laughed, but I also rolled my eyes a bit at that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, but you know.
I mean, I will never, ever knock them for not. They've always leaned into it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the best idea. Yep. I admire their dedication.
They do lean into it, and I didn't really mind it, you know, but we know that this baby is a supernatural baby, so it's not going to be a baby for long. But we have this whole scene where now Ash, he's having a problem with his hand that that Pablo made for him. It's like it locks up. And he goes to pull the sink off, but his hand locked up on it, and he can't get it off. The baby's coming at him. And, you know, they end up getting outside the door, closing the door. And the large Norwegian woman, as he calls her, is handcuffed to the sink. And his hand is, he's basically handcuffed to the sink as well because he can't let go.
Yeah, just him going, nah! And all, and it's just like, it looks as simple as just letting go.
Yeah, and doesn't the baby's chainsaw hand start cutting through the door?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's very Shining-esque.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, then they get
down. Not Shining, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
What, yeah.
Mixing up my classics.
They get downstairs. There's a battle, small battle here. They get unlocked, you know, handcuffed from each other. The large Norwegian woman doesn't fare too well. I'll say that. She gets her head cut off, right? I think so. She gets her head cut off because the baby crawls up inside her, and Nash is like, "Oh, you shouldn't be going down there yet."
That's right. That's right. It was doing the Jack in the Box.
Yeah. And he crawls inside this woman and is controlling her body. And he keeps popping his head out of the where her head was.
Yeah.
Dude.
They really went into the Looney Tunes cartoonishness of some of the ridiculous stuff in there.
This whole thing is filled with slapstick. You know, this whole scene with the baby and the large Norwegian woman. Oh, boy. But I'm telling you, we have Ash gets the baby out, right? Ash is going to take the baby and prove it. I think he wants to prove it to Brandy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to prove that Miss Previtt, who we all know is Ruby, he wants to prove that she's not good.
Mm-hmm. She's not your friend.
When Ash shows up in town to show his daughter, the police are there with her. Was it the police, right? Yeah, they're there with her. And he opens a trunk. I got proof. Opens a trunk. And it's not a demon baby. It's a baby.
Just a sweet little toddler.
Yeah. And they're like, "You kidnapped that?"
But he's all covered in blood. You know?
Yeah. But Brandy knows something's up, and you know they jump into the Delta, and they haul ass. But Ruby obviously gets her child back, because we have this whole scene now where he grows up, and he has to cut his hand off, because Ruby's whole plan is that. This is one of the things that they said. We skipped over the whole sperm bank scene too.
I was going to say, yeah.
Ruby's whole thing was that, okay, we need to kill off Ash and all of his seed. And my version of Ash will take his place as the chosen one. Good for Ruby. That's why she created this baby. And that's why now it's older. He has to cut off his hand so he could look like Ash and try and take Ash's place. Because the plan is that he's going to kill Ash. Having to get rid of his seed. This is something I never thought I would have seen. I guess maybe, you know, I should have. After the second season.
In a weird way, you should have expected.
After the second season in the butt and, you know, dangling. I guess it shouldn't have surprised me. But Ash goes and is like, "Can I get a record of everybody that got?" Because he's thinking that it's because that he has other children out there, like Brandy, you know. So he's like, "I need a list of everybody that got some of my, you know, my deposits, and I may have kids." And he talks to the girl, the nurse in there or whatever. He talks to the nurse and they're giving it to him. Okay, he's like, "Well, I guess since I'm here, I might as well make a deposit."
Yeah.
You know, he's opening up the titty magazines. And of course, Evil Dead fashion, a hand, they come alive. A hand comes out, grabs his junk. And he's screaming. He runs out. There was an Asian woman who gets possessed by a deadite. And she's grabbing these vials of semen. And
slinging them.
Shooting globs of semen. Come
on. See, that's just the way it splatters. Yeah. And he's dodging them like they're bullets. And
hits the wall.
And see, I was already laughing pretty hard about the fact that nurse gave up HIPAA records for a 30% discount.
Because he says 20, and she says 30 would be better.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah. So yeah, then next thing you know, they're just loads flying all over the place. I was like, I just appreciate the silliness that they put into this. They're like, you know what would be really funny? And then they write it down, and they're like, this has got to be structured like a story. It's just like, what in God's green earth made possessed you to, pun intended, to do this, you know?
I mean, in this, well, the hand ended up coming off, you know, he puts it in a filing cabinet. Dude. And then when he comes back out to see Kelly and Pablo, he's got right in his crotch, he's got that big old cum stain. You're like, what is that? Only ash, dude. Only ash. He could pull that off, clean himself up, and still be cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just another day.
If you or I did that, we'd be like pariahs. That's the guy right there. That's him.
Yeah, that's the bastard that can't come near a school.
Oh, so we went back to cover that sperm bank scene. But now we know, we roll back to the future where we were at. We know Ruby's plan now. So she really wanted to, because Ash has been going there to the sperm bank for years. They also make reference to Brock's deposits.
Oh gosh, that's right.
he had a good, they said he had a good amount or something like that, but we couldn't use it.
Right, like he had a quality.
Yeah, but we couldn't use it. Why not? He had syphilis. Like, oh god. So we know that god. Ruby quite literally wanted to kill his seed. It wasn't necessarily his offspring. It was his seed.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, what a task, though. It's like, the guy's been going there for years.
Yeah.
This stuff is everywhere. You know, she's got a long haul ahead of her.
If you remember, in one of the scenes, they pan back from the inside of one of the coolers, and there's a tray of vials, and they all say, Ash Williams, Ash Williams, Ash Williams. And it's also actually in this season that we find out, because his name is Ashley J. Williams, we find out what the J stands for. Do you remember what it is?
Joanna.
Ashley Joanna Williams. Why would you name me that? Made you stronger.
And they were so quick about it because I had to rewind it. I remember that because they were like, all right, it's Ashley Joanna Williams. I was like, wait, did they say Joanna?
Joanna. Poor Ash.
Oh, see, that just made it. I honestly, watching this, this rewatch this time, I have come to appreciate his dad far more as a character than I did the first time.
Oh, yeah.
He is hilarious.
Yeah, this Lee Majors. Awesome. Awesome guy.
Hey, man.
And now we go. So now we know Ruby's plan. She cuts off her son. Well, he has to do. He cuts off his hand. We know her plan is to swap ashes. For some reason, after all this shit's happening, Brandy wants to go to prom or homecoming or whatever it is, some school dance still. Are you sure that's a wise idea? Okay, so she's going to go. Kelly, who was possessed by Ruby's friend, the traitor, I can't remember her name, says, I'll go with her to the dance, tells Ash. It'll be okay. All right. Damn. So she's at the dance. You know, I have the little nostalgia. You know, I was like, oh, I remember those days. Going to high school dances and junior high school dances.
Yeah.
But, of course, Miss Previs there, or Ruby, and, you know, she comes out with a moment of silence for her friend, the blonde girl that died at the beginning of the season. And did you know she was going to do this? Had no idea. Okay. Then we bust to another scene where Ash is coming into the high school. But we quickly find out that it's not really Ash. Because you see some teenagers smoking on the stairwell. He chops them up. I mean, he's blood and shit everywhere. And then, of course, the police start chasing him. Was it the police or security? Police start chasing him up the stairs and through the hallways and stuff. And then the real Ash shows up. And so they start chasing him. So we're back to the good Ash, evil Ash. You know, we keep getting good Ash, evil Ash. And it never gets old.
No.
I love this scene with Ash, the scenes with Ash fighting himself. I think their battle in this one, though, eventually when it happens, you know, because the bad Ash goes into the dance hall, wherever they're dancing, the gymnasium, and just starts killing people. Brandy thinks, my dad's lost it. Miss Prevert was right. Well, the real Ash, our hero, Ashley Joanna Williams, shows up. And their fight scene here, I think, it's better than any of the other Ash versus Ash fight scenes, in my opinion. I think that, I don't know why, I just think that overall it came off better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I could see that just in the fact that maybe knowing that this was the last season, I guess it felt like there may have been a little bit more of a finality to it.
But it also,
as much as this could do.
It's also like in Army of Darkness, it was very comedical, you know, slapstick, mm-hmm. you know. And in season two, it was the same way. It was very funny, you know, it was very slapstick. But in this one here, it's not really that funny. I mean, they have their one-liners and stuff, but it's really a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I like this battle more, you know, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I could see that.
But, of course, our hero prevails. And Ruby's going to throw the Kandarian dagger. Was it a Kandarian or was this a knife?
I thought it was the dagger.
It might be the dagger. It's going to throw it at Ash, and Brandy jumps in the way. Dude, this is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, because you see, it's a short-lived little thing here, but you see Bruce Campbell, he's portraying some actual caring about this, about his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the character is Ash, and he's like, you can see it in his face. He's really heartbroken. Wow, dude.
Yeah, which is sort of, that's a good way to reference what happens later on near the end.
Yeah.
That connection.
Yeah. So Ash takes, you know, Brandy's body. They go back to, because Pablo was at the school too, and he's with Kelly, and he's getting ready to kiss Kelly. Or Kelly says something like, oh, that we've kissed or something like that before. But Pablo's like, you're not Kelly. You know, I know she's not Kelly. Pablo tells Ash, they have to come up with a plan. but they go to the basement of the hardware store. And I guess in some reflection somewhere, Pablo sees Kelly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
and I forget what it is, but yeah, it's like a strange little Stranger Things, kind of a thin veneer between worlds.
Yeah, and that's when Ash in his head puts together back from season, or not even season one, Evil Dead one, when they have that little ghost of Professor Nobe floating around. He puts it together, the rift. They're stuck in the rift. And I don't know how he puts these two together, because it's Ash, you know, but he does. And he says, they got to be alive in the rift. And he comes up with this whole huge plan that he is the chosen one. He's going to go into the rift, save his people, and bring them back. You know, Kelly eventually, no, it was Dalton, Kelly, and Brandy. Well, the only way to get to the rift is you have to be killed by the evil. Boy, I mean, the whole the story that they created for this, I mean, this is, in order to make your way to that rift, you got to be killed by the evil. So Pablo's like, hey, we got the Kandarian dagger. And Ash is going to kill himself. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And the whole countdown. All right, we'll do it together. Pablo's got his hands on the dagger. One, he says, two, and he says, two and a half, and Pablo says, three, and it shoves it in, and he's like, oh. But it does successfully kill him. He does successfully wake up in the rift. And we saw earlier when we had Dalton, Kelly, and Brandy running around in the rift that when you open up doors, it leads to other places. It doesn't just lead to where it's supposed to. It's just kind of big maze. But Ash somehow finds his way right to the bar where they're at. You know, he opens a door, opens another door, or he's in the sperm bank, and he opens a door, and he's in the bar. And right where they're at, I'm like, wow, okay.
It seemed like a dream, like it's the two favorite places in the world, you know?
The bar and the sperm bank.
Yeah.
There you go. But now they need to escape the rift. And they had this big idea. They have to get back to the big basement that's underneath. Because in the rift, it's basically a replica of Elk Grove. Kind of like, what do they call it in Stranger Things? The below or the beneath? Okay, or
something upside like that. Down.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So they know that they have to get to the basement on the underside of the hardware store. So Pablo can open up a portal and they can get back in. They can come back out or whatever. This whole fight, the Delta. This was a pretty good scene, I thought. Because, you know, Dalton's like, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna distract him. You guys get away. Ash, save your daughter and Kelly, is what he says. They decide to hop into Delta. And they're like, it's not gonna work. Everything here is dead. He does, you know, and then we got all these hands coming up out, pulling the Delta underground.
Which I thought that was a good effect. I like that.
But the Delta turns over. Roars to life. You know, Ash is given, you were made, you're in wherever, Grand Rapids, Michigan or something like that. You don't die. Well, the Delta comes back to life and they pull the Delta underground and you just hear, they're panning around in the street and you hear, and all of a sudden, the Delta breaks out of the ground. And it's one of those moments you're like, yeah. You know, your hero is back. That scene.
Glory. Beautiful glory coming out of the ground.
Yeah. And then they make it, and it's so odd because every other door everywhere in the rift doesn't go where it's supposed to. But when I get to the hardware store, they go in and it goes right into the hardware store. Okay. They go downstairs and they're like, Pablo, you had one job. In the meantime, Pablo was fighting a deadite in the real hardware store, one of the girls from the dance that got killed. He sticks her head in a paint shaker.
Yes.
Dude, that was a pretty good graphic there.
That was pretty brutal.
Yeah. Her head's just shaking and then just rips off. Wow, dude, that was. But then Pablo starts, because he's a brujo especial. So he looks at the TV. Ash's commercial starts to play him, but then he hears Ash, Pablo, you had one job. And he's like, oh, Ash. He's got to run downstairs, and he opens the portal. Brandy jumps through. Ash is like, Kelly, come on. Kelly can't, because somebody's in her body. Makes sense, right? I mean, yeah. Evil Dead. Ash comes out. Brandy and Ash are alive. But then they realize that, okay, we got to deal with whoever's in Kelly so that way Kelly can come back, because we got to save Kelly. Whew. Coming toward the end here. Pablo's role as Brujo Especial. This is what brings him to be able to guide Ash into the rift and to bring him back, because he has all these powers now and he can control, or not really control, but he can read and use the Necronomicon.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his Brujo Especial thing. Well, Ash and Brandy are back at, you know, their house, and Ash has to go and deal with some shit. He says, Brandy, you're not going. You're staying here. Leaves her double barrel. Says, anybody comes through that door, just shoot them. Okay. But then Brandy has her whole scene where she goes out into the shed and her phone rings and it's her mother. And then we have this whole scene here where she's going to lop off her hand. But then it's like a dream. She comes out of it. But then she ends up destroying. Was there a deadite in there, or was it just the phone? No, the phone became. Didn't the phone like?
Yeah. The phone started acting crazy.
Yeah, sprouting into something or other. She has her own little fight with that, blood soaked and everything. And in the meantime, I wish I could remember what the hell the name of that demon that was possessing Kelly. Because her and Ruby are conspiring. Now,
Yeah. They
have one of the Knights of Sumeria back with them at Miss Previtt's house. And she's like, the Dark Ones know where the rift is. They're going to come through. We betrayed them. And so they took out one of the Knights of Sumeria, and they basically draining her blood out of her. And they cut a big chunk of her skin off of her back, because Ruby has a plan. That's the page of the Necronomicon. I guess they're made out of human skin.
Yeah, that was what I got from it. It's like they're making a new page.
Yeah.
So you're just like, God, that's brutal, man. Yeah. That is so nasty.
She starts writing on it and everything on this skin. And she's like, give me the pen. And it's basically just a iron pick that she dips in the blood and starts writing on the. Wow. But then this woman, the Knight of Sumeria, I can't remember her name, but she gets up and takes off. She's got all of her major arteries. She has, you know, needles draining the blood out, tubes. She starts taking off. I'm like, honey, you're not going to make it very far.
Yeah, it's like 7-8 feet is about as far as you're going to go. I've given blood before. You get dizzy quick.
She drops, and then the blood just, big pool of blood. Damn, dude. That sucks.
Yeah.
Is that called exsanguination?
The what?
Isn't that called exsanguination? When your blood
drained
out of your body?
Oh, good. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Nice.
So my brain is good sometimes.
Right. I like that. good word.
Oh, shit. So, and then we come to the last episode of the season. The Dark Ones make it through the portal. And Pablo is down there in the basement as they come through the portal. But they don't do anything to him.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I wonder if, I think it's either because he was possessed by the book, maybe he was marked or something, but I think it could just as easily be the, because he's the new badass Bruja.
Yeah.
That he, it's like walking around a bear for them. Like, yeah. To leave him alone.
It could be both. I mean, it could be that he's the new Brujo Especial, plus he's taken on the Necronomicon as well. Maybe that's part of him. I don't know, but they leave him alone for whatever reason. And they are searching for Ruby. They want Ruby. When the Dark Ones show up at Miss Previtt's house to confront Ruby and, damn it, I can't remember that demon's name, the traitor that's in Kelly's body, The Dark Ones just take their souls right out.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was surprising. It was surprising in how quick it was.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting something far more elongated.
Yeah, it was very, very quick. And when it happened, I was like, oh, you got Kelly's body back. You know, and that's what opens it up for Kelly to come back. But there is a 6 foot tall, or I'm sorry, 60 foot tall Kandarian demon that comes out of the ground and starts tramping through Elk Grove.
Yeah. Do you remember what they called that thing?
This is a Kandarian demon, wasn't it?
I thought it had a name. I could be
wrong. Oh, maybe it was. I'm going to tell you what, when we're done here, I'm going to rewatch that episode because I love that episode. This episode is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, military is showing up because of this demon's attacking the town. You know, you got fighter planes trying to bomb it and everything. Like, it's like a war zone. They're trying to defeat this huge ass demon, 60 foot demon. Ash makes a promise to his daughter. You know, I know he said something earlier. I won't leave you or something like that. Or he said something like that, but then he ends up locking him up in an ambulance and says, get him out of here. Because He's the chosen one. His time has come, you know?
Yeah.
And what he does, I don't know that it would actually work, but it's cool as hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he gets in that tank, loads up one of those big ass bullets, I guess we say. Tank shells.
Yeah. Well,
a shell.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he straps the Kandarian dagger to it and loads it into the, I don't know, what are those things? I'm not very familiar with tanks.
I'll call it the tube.
The tube. Loads it into the tank tube. And he has one liner there. I can't remember what he says. I know he flips him off. He's like, fuck you. Yeah. Jumps down there and starts running. He shoots at him. He shoots the Kandarian dagger at the Kandarian demon. Hits him. Kills him.
Yeah.
And then the demon falls on top of the tank. Ash makes it out. He kind of crawls out. And he's like, oh. Mm-hmm. He's fading quick. He's like, oh. And then you see, all you really see is hit from his point of view. You know, everything's blurry and fading out. But somebody's picking him up and they're carrying him away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, and they like sort of put like tape on him.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah. They kind of carry him away and they're like, they put him in something, you know, for... And we're like, what the shit is going on here with this? But we then see also that these Kandarian demons, it wasn't just Elk Grove. You know, they were popping up all over the place. So you're like, damn. Is Ash dead?
And it makes you wonder, you know, it's like if they're popping up all over the place. I did wonder why.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever really address it, but I did wonder why it was always like boom, boom, boom.
Well, from what I understand, they had plans of making a season 4, depending on how this one turned out. But then I think right when the season started, they got canceled. Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, there goes season 4. Well, I guess we're not doing it. So, and this is when they specifically made this ending because of that. You know, I don't remember. Does this say how many years in the future it happens? Because we get a time jump, a huge time jump.
No,
it's
not far, really.
It's far into the future.
Like it was a couple hundred years, maybe.
Yeah, it has to be because this container opens up. Ash comes out. It's like a big white room. It's got a sterile room, basically. And he's in this jumpsuit, this futuristic looking jumpsuit kind of thing. He's like, it's one of those scenes that's like, where the hell? You know, and then we have this robot Jane, I don't know what her name is, comes in. Robot. But very feminine.
Yeah, robot. Very pretty robot.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And as even as the robot comes in and says, chosen one, you're awake. Okay, come on, we got work to do or something like that. And even as the robot's walking away, Ash is like, checking her ass out. Wow. Well.
Yeah, I love how he's always him.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been several hundred years, and he's like, oh. All right, I'd give that a spin.
Yeah. And they uncover this car. That's all I can say. Is it the Delta? Because that's Ash's car. It has to be the Delta.
It has to be the Delta. It looked too similar.
It doesn't look anything like the old Delta, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a big old 50 cal gun up top and cages are all around and everything and a big old shovel on the front. You know, the snow shovel on the thing on the front.
And Mad right, maxed out.
Right in the front, it says, Hail to the King.
Yeah.
And it's just the scene. He gets in the car, revs the engine. And how does it end? Groovy.
Yep.
And that's the movie I want to see.
Yeah,
that's if they would have done a season four, that's the season four I want to see, you know, because obviously when he killed that first Kandarian demon, he was going to die until the Knights of Sumeria saved him. Mm-hmm. And they brought him, you know, to, I guess they put him in like cryogenic sleep or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're left with a world that is now in disarray. The Kandarian demons that were popping up everywhere back when he killed the one in Elk Grove, we know what happens. They destroyed the world. Mm-hmm. Now, this has to be the world that he wakes up from in the original ending of the Army of Darkness. Has to
be. Yeah, it has to be.
You know, very, very dystopian, and it's just like everything's destroyed. But I like how they make that callback, too, you know. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's the original ending of Army of Darkness. Yeah. That's where he woke up. But this is definitely a movie I want to see. You know,
And you know, it's funny, when I was watching this, I noticed how so much of this season actually was sort of a direct reference to Army of Darkness.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Like the three bowls of blood, is very similar to when he's, you know, coughing and trying to choose. Like at the end, you know, it's the same sort of desolate landscape.
Yeah, and the Knights of Sumeria.
I feel like the whole thing was very much a tribute to Army of Darkness.
It definitely was.
It is a shame they didn't go any further, because it would be cool to see what happens a little more into that world now.
Yeah, because he's still the chosen one. I guess there's no time frame that he has to end the evil,
right?
You know, but because he's still the chosen one. I want to see that movie.
Yeah,
we need to start sending emails out or something.
Yeah, we'll start. Yeah, like a little grassroots campaign. Yeah. 10 years after the fact,
we can make a fan film.
There you go. Those have gotten pretty solid on YouTube. I can see that.
Have you seen that one? I don't know what it's called. Don't Walk in the Woods or something like that.
Jason one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they brought
that was not bad.
And they brought Tommy Jarvis back. Their original brought him back. That was good stuff.
That was cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched all those. Some are not that good, but that one was pretty solid.
That one was good.
Yeah. Now, so yeah, if somebody ever got squirrely and decided to do this, I'd be so happy.
Yeah. Dave, Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3. What are your final thoughts on this?
I love it. Of the three, I think it's the one I like the least. But that's not a criticism. It's it's literally, I think the only thing that kind of threw me was the baby. Even though I enjoyed the baby, I was still like, oh,
yeah.
No, you're bringing a baby into this. So I think that made me a little uncomfortable initially.
Yeah.
Because shit is not going to go well for this child.
No.
Not in this world.
Wonder who that.
But I love it. It's still, and I do like the ending. I like that it's got it doesn't leave you thinking this is the end.
Yeah. Not at all.
There's something happening, even though we're not seeing it. And so, yeah, it's a great show. I love it.
Yeah, I loved it. I think it's different than the other seasons. While it still had its slapstick and its funny moments and, you know, how they all went into the whole, you know, sperm bank thing. And it still has that, but it overall, I think this season seemed a little bit more serious. You know, mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit more darker because of the Dark Ones coming into it and everything like that. But I think the ending to this was perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think that if they would have ended it where Ash killed that Kandarian demon, I don't think that I would have liked that too much.
No,
but since they put on that futuristic ending, I gotta say that episode, the final episode of this season, has got to be one of my favorite episodes of the whole series.
I could see that, yeah, because I really like it. It's really good.
Yeah. Now the series overall, you're right. I think this is probably my least favorite of all the seasons. But like, I don't hate it. I love it.
Oh yeah.
But I think the first season for me was my favorite,
mm-hmm.
my favorite. And then the final episode, I do like the fact that they throw in, Ash has a daughter. So
yeah,
now we have a whole other avenue for future movies here now. Right. Because we have the bloodline of Ashley J. Williams is still alive. We have Kellan Pablo still. So, I mean, they got to do something with these characters, dude. They have to.
I know. They've got to at least bring them. If they're going to be making more movies, they've at least got to make an appearance in the movie.
They
got to be part of the lore in some way. They're too important now.
Yeah, they have to. I know that they're starting. I think they're starting. They got a director set for the new Evil Dead movie. I can't remember who it was. Let's see. I know that I saw something somewhere that they had something. Not Evil Dead Rise is the one that we're going to be doing next.
Yeah.
Which is the final movie so far of the Evil Dead series. But I know that I saw somewhere that they had new Evil Dead spinoff in the works. Because of the popularity and success of Evil Dead Rise, they got Simply Determined Never Find Any More Talent. No. I guess they're looking at a director named Venicek. He made a French horror movie called Vermin. I know that it's in the works. It's already thinking about it. And I definitely think that, especially since they expanded the universe with Evil Dead Rise, which kind of opened it up even more.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they can put a Kelly and Pablo movie. They could put a Brandy movie out there for what happens in the meantime, because they're going to be still battling this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool little stopgap. Yeah. I would enjoy that.
Be fun. Yeah, I love this movie, this show, this series, this season even. And like I said, 5-6 times already. This final episode is going to be one of my favorites. And I'm actually probably going to watch it again as soon as we get off of here.
Yeah, I might watch that final shot again. I just love them.
I love that.
Popping in and like, let's go battle evil again.
Again.
It is a lot of fun. And oh man, it makes me laugh at how much the people involved seem to enjoy making this.
Yep.
And I think that's been the key to its success for so long. And I really think that's what made the show so much fun.
You know, I think my son was telling me about a con that's coming up here where Sam Raimi and Ted Raimi are going to be there. And I was like, dude, we got to go.
Yeah.
And it's relatively close. You know, it's either in one of the Carolinas or Tennessee or Virginia or something like that. It's right around this area.
I think someone mentioned that to me. We're going to the GalaxyCon in Raleigh in July. I don't think it's that.
No.
But it might be. I heard something around here.
It might be.
Really?
It might be the GalaxyCon in Raleigh.
Damn, if it is, then I know where I'll be spending at least some of my money. I must overlook that then.
Spend a couple $100 there. Telling you.
Yeah.
Easily. Because you know Ted Raimi's not going to be, or Sam Raimi. Ted Raimi's going to be gonna be cheaper, but Sam Raimi?
Yeah.
He's probably going to spend
He's going to buy one of those expensive photos. But,
yeah.
I'll bite the bullet. I can go out and side gig and Uber or whatever. Squeeze a little extra cash out of the day.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Yep. Sam Raimi. This is GalaxyCon Raleigh. Says Sam Raimi will be there. Sam Raimi will be there Saturday and Sunday. Where's Ted? I know I saw him. Yep. Ted Raimi will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I don't know how I missed that. That's insane. Because I bought the tickets because, honestly, I bought the tickets because we were going to go for, there's several Buffy the Vampire Slayer people are going to be showing up. And so my daughters really wanted to go and meet some of them, but I don't know how I missed Sam Raimi. I mean, goodness, that's now officially the top of my list. I'm going to have to go, just talk to the man. That's exciting.
I'm going to get there. I think our thing is we always go on a Sunday because it's kind of
that's when we're going.
It's a little died down. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go there with my older son and we'll go and hang out. Maybe we'll have dinner or something afterwards.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. We'll have to touch base.
Absolutely.
So we can hang out for a bit.
Absolutely. So, Dave, as we close out this episode, finally, of the seasons of Ash vs. Evil Dead, where can the good people out there in the interwebs find you?
Oh, they can go find me.
But only the good people. Only the good people.
Yes, only good people.
Only the good people.
And I mean that in a very loose sense. But go to PiedmontTriadPodcast.com. That's where you can find all of my shows and whatnot. I was off the grid there for a couple of months because my computer kind of shit the bed and took forever to fix. So I'm finally ramping back up again. So it's exciting. So go there and you can check out all the episodes that I've got put up.
Yep. I'll tell you that most recent episode you did there, I'm not much into that type of music.
Yeah, me neither.
But I was like, it's not too bad.
It surprised me that I dug it. I really was surprised by that.
Yeah, and I like that. There was at some point during the interview there where you're like, "Well, I listen to mostly metal," and he's like, "Well, yeah, I know. I did my research on you."
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "All right, that's good."
I like that he appreciated that.
yeah. It was good. It was good. Good interview. I like that, and it turned me on to.
Thanks.
I won't say it publicly too much, but I think I might have a new genre of music I listen to.
It's like it'll be spoken of softly and only in certain circles.
Yeah. Well, now everybody out there in the damn interwebs knows it too. So. Dang it.
Right.
But that's it. That's it for this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Everybody out there, sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget, you're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.